Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast.
Opposition now in Congress. And, of course, the states, even in Democratic states, Governor Whitmer in Michigan and other places, this is becoming just a political chest. And the outlook in the outlook is not at all a sure thing in the court system. Is there any thought of backing off of that and trying to avoid, you know, all the outcry against it?
Yeah, but, you know, Andrew, we really have to get people vaccinated. I mean, I understand, and we all understand, how people do not like to be told what to do. They want to make their own choice and their own free will. I get that, and I respect that. But these are unusual times, and you can't think only of yourself and your own personal opinion, but you've got to think about your communal responsibility to get yourself and your family, and indirectly then, the community protected. So I would prefer, and we all would prefer, that people would be voluntarily getting vaccinated. But if they're not going to do that, sometimes you've got to do things that are unpopular, but that clearly supersede individual choices.
What? You can come and bring it, Hoggle, if you want to. But that's Fauci just yesterday on MSNBC. Unpopular? What about unlawful? You know, that's a phrase that's even more important than unpopular. Right. What about unlawful? I mean, that's the thing. You don't have the right to do this, to force people. And that's what I would just come out and say it. Quit this cowardly crap. Just come out and say what it is that you're wanting to do. What is it that you're wanting to do to people? Mandatory vaccinations. That's what he wants. He wants mandatory vaccinations. Mandatory injections. That's what he's referring to. Sometimes you got to do things that are unpopular, but that clearly supersede individual choices. There's nothing that supersedes an individual choice. Nothing. Nothing supersedes an individual choice. The end. And that's not just to force people to do that. It isn't just unpopular. It's unconstitutional. Why is he even being asked about something like this? You know, if he was a more humble man, he would say, you know what, Andrea, that's a political question. And I'm just here to talk about the nature and behavior of the virus and future variants. You should probably save the policy questions for the people who make policy. But he likes the attention. He likes this appeal to authority that networks like MSNBC and CNN, etc. do. He likes this appeal to authority, but... And he likes the camera attention more than he actually likes preserving the public trust in him as an unbiased scientist and medical professional. So that's where, you know, when you talk about respecting authority, he doesn't respect the people who invest the power in him for that. Actually, we don't. It's the people who elect him or appoint him. So, no. Mm-mm. No, sir.
By the way, I also found some audio from this morning where he's essentially directing families to get vaccination, proof from your family when you're together in Christmas time.
Yeah, let's hear this.
As we have traditionally over the years, dinners and gatherings within the home with people who are vaccinated. And that's the reason why people should, if they invite people over their home, essentially ask and maybe require that people show evidence that they are vaccinated.
No. That's it. Just no. No.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, that's not. We're not doing that, and that's not gonna happen. Sorry. Sorry to burst your little tyrant bubble there, but not gonna happen. Mm-mm. Just, and listen to The View. This was them blaming the unvaccinated, which, by the way, it's mutations result from resistance. And the virus tries to find a way around it. So this is not even scientifically accurate, but just, you know, for illustration. 13.
Well, you know, it was interesting to me that the argument was being made, if you're vaccinated, why do you care about me being vaccinated? You're protected. And that's why we are at the Omicron variant, right? That's why we are where we are, because it's mutating. It's becoming this crazy superbug inside of the people that aren't vaccinated.
That's not how science, like, works. Like, oh my gosh, like...
Omicron.
There's a saying in my house. After we watched Ghost Stories, the English dub, I think you have to be into it, because someone's like, I watched this and I do not understand you. That's fine. Kane, do you know what I'm talking about? He's acting like a total, like, so The View sounds like a bunch of Ketcheros sitting there talking. If you watch that show, you know what that means. That's a saying in our house. Like, stop being such a Ketchero. And that The View sounds like a bunch of Ketcheros sitting there. And did you know that if you put a leech on you, it sucks the bad spirits out of your body? My goodness. Oh, my word. I don't even know who was talking. Who was it was talking then? I don't even know. I don't even know who all these broads are. There's some broad. There's Joy Behar and Whoopi Goldberg and some broads. Some other broads. I don't know. After Megan Leather, I don't even know. It just got dumb. Goodness. Now, speaking of this, by the way, I want to revisit really quickly. Do you remember Jacinda Ardern saying that there's always going to be boosters and all this stuff? Did you guys hear about Finland's prime minister over the weekend? Because, you know, in Finland, everybody's not locked down. You have all these other leaders from Jacinda Ardern in New Zealand, and you have other, like in Australia, who you have Angela Merkel's second in command. And they're telling everyone, stay, you know, don't, you know, get have gatherings, et cetera, et cetera. So in Finland, she's a 36-year-old social democratic, which is stupid, social democratic prime minister, because they've had a lot of, you know, push. They've had a lot of some, you know, and under Finland, their guidelines. If you're a double jab, you don't have to isolate if you come in contact with a positive case, but people are supposed to avoid social contact if they're waiting for access to a test, blah, 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 blah. And she's 36 years old, and she went out clubbing till 4 a.m., left her work phone at home, and was unreachable to get a text telling her that she needed a quarantine. And she's like, sorry for clubbing after I had contact with COVID. Sorry. She's center, that's the center-left coalition, so she's like, they're probably super lefty. But she apologized for not double-checking the code. First off, she's 36 years old and she's clubbing till 4 a.m. Dude, are you, like, snorting coke? Like, what, how is that happening? That's some coke fuel. That's, okay, because, I mean, 36 years old, 36 years old, you don't go clubbing at 4 a.m. Oh my gosh, like you're up at midnight at 36 years old and you're like, oh my gosh, why is it so late? It's true, it's a true story. That to me was the biggest takeaway in the story, that she was 36 years old and she was out clubbing till 4 a.m. That was the biggest takeaway. I know, the COVID thing, but Kane, 36 years old. Yeah. I think I started turning into a pumpkin at midnight when I was 30. It'd be midnight, and I'm like, oh my god, suddenly I'm so tired, I'm gonna fall asleep. I can't be out late. I can't. My word. This year, Kel-Tec is celebrating 30 years of game-changing innovation and performance. A privately owned family company that began making one-of-a-kind American-made firearms in 1995. In 1999, Kel-Tec launched their brand on the scene by forever redefining the concealed carry handgun. And from that point on, Kel-Tec continues to innovate and create never-before-seen firearms, pistols, rifles, and shotguns alike, never copying firearms, always innovating new ones. Kel-Tec believes in respect, family, the right to bear arms, and in the love we all have for our great country. They do things right. All Kel-Tec firearms are proudly made right here in America in a true family culture that embraces every employee and where people are genuinely happy to come to work. The Kel-Tec's commitment to innovation and quality truly sets them apart. Find out more about Kel-Tec firearms by visiting KelTecWeapons.com for a deeper dive on all aspects of their innovative firearms. That's KelTecWeapons.com to learn more about my friends at Kel-Tec. Kel-Tec, game-changing innovation and performance.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
Well, Jane's wrong, because we actually like Sergio, our brother from another mother, down in McAllen, KURV. All right, so This, man, last night, Craig, I'm trying to say his last name, Craig Tamanaha, 49 years old. He set fire to the Fox News Christmas tree last night. 49-year-old homeless man. His last known address was in Brooklyn. He had a lighter. He climbed on the tree, used papers that he brought, and lit it on fire. And then he stepped back and watched the tree burn. Okay, some days I do feel like that. Not like with their tree specifically, but just things in general. He's charged with criminal mischief, reckless endangerment, arson, criminal nuisance. I mean, Shannon Bream, sweet little Shannon Bream. She's like the sweetest person in this entire industry. And watching her reporting on a burning Christmas tree was almost too much for me last night. I'm like, Shannon, no! Anyway, so this guy's charged with a number of things. Criminal tampering, disorderly conduct, endangering others, criminal trespass, criminal nuisance, endangerment, reckless endangerment, arson, criminal mischief. He had 3 prior arrests for drug possession, 1 for public intoxication. They said the arson, the motive was unclear. They're trying to see whether or not mental illness was a factor. I'm sure he had a court appearance earlier this year that he didn't show up for, which I'm sure shocks everybody. It doesn't. It doesn't shock anybody. A Let's Go Brandon store opens up in a blue state. It's literally a store called Let's Go Brandon. It opened in North Attleboro, Massachusetts on Saturday, and they sell Let's Go Brandon merchandise. Stickers, hats, sweatshirts, signs, flags. Do they have an online store? I'm asking for a lot of friends. So Biden was plus 13 in Massachusetts against Trump. So I'm very curious as to how this, because I feel like I need some of this merchandise. I'm going to look up and find out whether or not you can buy some of it online because, you know, I think we need to. And the House passed the defense bill. We'll talk more about that. Stick with us. I have to share this with you as well, too, because this, I saw this piece this morning from the New York Times, and it's on the president's pick for a banking regulator. Do you remember this Saleh Omarova? This woman, she was a Cornell Law School professor, and the president picked her for this, you know, position for this banking regulator. And it was Office of the Comptroller of Currency that regulates the country's biggest banks. And so the New York Times was, the way that they put this, it was kind of funny that because they were tweeting out Republicans were painting her as a communist, etc. Well, you know why she was painted as a communist, right? Because not just because she's an alumni of Moscow State University, but because she also wrote a thesis celebrating Marxism in which she refused to turn over when they were evaluating her career to determine whether or not she was a good pick for this position. That kind of is a little, you know, that kind of insight's a little important in this, don't you think? Just a little bitty bit. You would think so. Also, some wokery talking about cultural revolutions and Marxism. George Orwell's estate has approved the retelling of 1984 from a woman's point of view. They say Orwell's classic gets a feminist perspective in Julia, which I think is funny because Julia, if you don't remember this, back in 2013, 2014, the Obama-Biden administration put out this faceless woman named Julia that was supposed to represent all American women and with her vague beigery. And she was supposed to represent all women. And it was about her being a single mom and or being single and not, you know, there's no men in her life, apparently. And it was just weird and it was condescending. And so it became a fun thing to make fun of for a good year. And it's weird that they decided to call it Julia. But I also think that it's a great misunderstanding of, I was actually kind of shocked that Orwell's estate actually agreed with this, because the story of, the, I mean, 1984 isn't, I mean, there's no themes of masculinity or femininity in this. And that's kind of the point. Establishing a theme of femininity, in my opinion, completely undermines the entire point of the clinical storytelling that Orwell uses in order to evoke the very stripped down, identity-less society that was established for that tyranny of Big Brother to thrive. And that was ultimately the point. And so it tells the story. I mean, obviously you have Winston Smith and, you know, they have this, you know, big tyrannical leader, Big Brother, and it's this, you know, it's a warning of totalitarianism, etc. And Orwell's estate said that they were looking for some time for an author to tell the story of Winston Smith's lover, the woman in the piece. And I just, is it necessary? I mean, I just don't understand. I don't know if it's necessary. They said that two of the unanswered questions in his novel are what Julia sees in Winston and how she's navigated her way through the party hierarchy. She, Sandra, gets under the skin of Big Brother's world in a convincing way, which is true to the original, blah, 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 blah. What? Well, you can understand why she likes Winston. I mean, I thought that was pretty clear in the very beginning when she would see his hesitation in the 2 minutes hate and how he was really reluctant to participate until he started getting looked at by some of Big Brother's surrogates. And that's when he started yelling, but not to the degree which everyone else was. I mean, she noticed that there was resistance within him. And that was what ultimately that was an identity bond. That was a bond of identity that they shared apart from the very stripped down, clinical, tyrannical world of Big Brother. And that's ultimately what established the interest. I mean, my gosh, does this have to be baby-splained to people? What the hell? Are we just going to dumb down every great work because everyone's focusing on pronouns and no one's actually, you know, getting educated?
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Some people testing me today with us. Kane, I'm going to put this in Slack, and then you can tell me what you think about this story. Oh, yeah, we're here. Here we are. So there is controversy in Fort Myers Beach.
Oh, boy.
Because of a store name, and this is where all my creativity's got to show up, man. So let me figure out a way to say the name of the store. It is called Big Richard's Salty Seaman's Fun Shop, talking about sailors in a way. It's not Richard though. And the manager said it's kind of a capital on the fun because everything in here will make you laugh. And some, though, are not laughing at the sign on the new store. It's on Old San Carlos Boulevard. Dan Allers, a Fort Myers Beach councilman, says, "I don't know if it's necessarily family friendly. Let's just put it that way." So Allers brought the t-shirt's name up during a Monday council meeting, and apparently this story originated in the Ozarks. Oh, it gets crazier. So they said it's the name's not for gags. It has a history. They said the company, I love how they make this, like this is the defense that they had in the council meeting. They said the company started with Big Richard's, except not Richard's, halfway end in the Lake of the Ozarks. Up in Missouri, a truck driver named Dick, who was rather large, started the business. A restaurant was followed by a gift shop. And then the Big Richard retired to Florida and became the Salty Seaman. So because he was liked boats and stuff. And so now they said that they're capitalizing on the brand he started decades ago, selling stuff that may not be safe for work, like knickknacks and T-shirts. They say there's a laugh on every rack. And the councilman asked the town's attorney to look at what they can do about the not so family friendly sign. Well, look, we all got to live with stuff. You just explain like, oh, well, you know, I mean, you got to explain to your, how do you, it's a teaching moment. Come on. We did though. So you challenged me and I answered the call and we got that story in.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.